Hi, I'm Michael Hayes. I'm an alcoholic. When I'm asked to speak, usually I wear a tie. It's just something that I've been taught to do, respecting Alcoholics Anonymous. And tonight I didn't do that. I didn't know I was going to talk until I got here. And that's great, because that was that much less that I obsessed on all day long. I would have had this talk about 50 times between, you know, whenever, this morning and now. But thank you for inviting me and asking me to speak. I came up with Nathan. Nathan's my sponsor. Nathan might not talk about it, but we listened to a talk by Bill Wilson in, I think, 1950. And he talked about the inception of AA, like the moments that started this program, when it was like two guys. And it was as inspiring as anything I know in my life, I can tell you that much. And that's why I would wear ties, out of respect for those that have become, that have come before me, and respect for Alcoholics Anonymous in general, which I've been taught in my home group, and it's been something that has served me and many others very, very well, in my opinion. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I come from a long line of alcoholics. There's alcoholism all in and around my family, and there has been for as long as I've been alive, and well before, that's for sure. You're either an alcoholic or you're constantly reacting to the alcoholics. Running from them or running directly to them is what I've noticed. But I started drinking at a pretty young age, but I started drinking for the effect probably at like 12. I started becoming pretty close to a daily drinker by the time I was 13, maybe 14. I wouldn't have told you at the time that I was drinking because I needed to. I didn't think that there was anything wrong. I didn't like the people that I knew that drank, that said they needed a drink when some negative thing happened in their life or some emotional thing happened in their life. I never liked that. And so in retrospect, though, I think I was just in denial. I was constantly drinking to change my feelings. And I was the kind of drinker, for the most part, in my daily drinking, to just take the edge off. I just wanted things to be just enough different that I could tolerate them, is what it looks like. And then, you know, on the weekends, early in my drinking, I used to black out a little bit. By and large, I wasn't really a blackout drinker. I grew up, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad died with 25 years of sobriety. He said he was an alcoholic. My household was violent and crazy all the time. Every day was something different. One day it would be like a fairy tale, and before that day was over, it would be like a miserable nightmare. And you never knew which one was coming and when it was coming and how it was coming, but it kept me on my toes. And I think that I was the oldest of six kids. I think that I felt like my parents were sort of absentee a lot of the time. It was kind of me and my five brothers and sisters. So I needed to be in control all the time. So my thing was, I would drink as much as I could and at the same time try to stay in control as much as possible. And I had a pretty tight grip on what I thought was reality. It was far from it, it turned out. But, by the time I got out of high school, I was definitely drinking and using every single day. I had tried to quit a number of times in high school. I was ready for this program probably by the time I was a junior in high school. I was an athlete, and I had some promise as an athlete, and I knew pretty early on that there was no way that I was going to pursue anything with my being an athlete, because I wanted to drink. I couldn't drink the way I wanted to drink as an athlete. So I knew that I played sports until I was a senior in high school, and then I was able to just take the bridle off and just run wild, and that's what I did. I did go to college, but college was mostly a psychedelic blur that was kept fueled by alcohol every day, all the time. By the time I was, I got out of college somehow. I went to the Bay Area. I worked in rock and roll. I was basically an outlaw. I didn't like being told what to do, so I did whatever I wanted to do, and I did what I needed to do to be able to do what I wanted to do. And somehow I was able to talk my way out of a lot of uncomfortable situations. The consequences to my drinking were mostly physical. I didn't get arrested. I didn't get DUIs. I didn't get in fights. I didn't hurt myself. I wasn't too accident prone. I did lose some teeth at one point in one fight. I was in one fight and lost teeth. Yeah, the other guy, not a scratch, by the way. Like, I won't pretend. I was starting to see signs of running the wheels off. I was starting to see more and more that I was having to keep up, and it was harder and harder, and I knew that I was suffering, and I knew that something needed to change, and I couldn't stop. For a long time, I thought it was other things. I thought it was the city I lived in. I did geographics. I thought it was the friends I had. I changed my friends. I thought it could have been any number of things. It never occurred to me that it was my drinking and using. It got to the point where I had a story about myself and what I was doing for every single person I was talking to. So I wasn't two-faced. I was like 1,000-faced. I was totally a chameleon. I didn't care. I had very little relationship to the truth. I didn't care about the truth. I cared that if I was talking to you, that A, you heard what you needed to hear so that you either didn't get on my back or you got off my back, or that I said what I needed to say to get what I thought I wanted from you. And sometimes I had 10 different stories going on with 10 different people who were all in the same room at the same time. So I'm doing a lot of praying that one person's not talking to the other person about me and comparing the stories I told them. And I'm exhausted, absolutely exhausted. It's hard to live that way. It takes a lot of tracking stories. And I started to get less and less able to keep my life together. I started to get less and less able to pay the rent. I started to get less and less able to keep my story together enough to stay loaded. So I did a geographic to the Pacific Northwest. I ran the wheels off there. I decided that in order for me to get well, I needed to tell my parents, for some reason, what was actually going on with me, what kind of life I was really living. And the truth was that it was nothing that they could even fathom, that their child had turned into somebody like I had become. But I decided that that's what it was going to take. My dad had gotten sober a number of years earlier. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But at the age of 33, I had left home when I was 17. At the age of 33 or 32, I moved back into my parents' house and tried to get the gumption together to tell them what was going on with me. I guess it was my crazy idea of what I needed to get help. I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous, A, because of my dad. But I had been around Alcoholics Anonymous. It had been suggested to me many times, but I was kind of in denial about that. But then I was starting to remember the times that people had suggested that I go to Alcoholics Anonymous. One day my dad came to me and he offered me a big book. He said, "I think you need this more than I need it." I don't know why he said that, or I thought I didn't know why in the moment. Looking back on it, it was obvious. But I had never had a conversation with him about my drinking or using. And then a couple weeks after that, he invited me to a meeting, and I said no. But in my mind, I was like, maybe I should. And he was great about it. He didn't try to force me or anything. A couple weeks after that, he invited me to another meeting, and I said yes. And I couldn't tell you today why I said yes, but I said yes. And I went to that meeting with him. I was loaded. I remember sitting next to a guy in the meeting who looked at me, and he said, "How long are you sober?" And I started to answer, and he sort of cracked a smile. And before I could even say a word, he said, "Welcome. Keep coming back." And he knew. There was something about being in that room and other rooms at the time. I started going to meetings secretly after that on my own. There was something about being in rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't have described it. I don't know what it was exactly even to this day, but I believe that there was something that made me feel safe being in here. Like it had something to do with you guys knew what was really going on with me without me even having to say anything about it. So my time's up. I ended up going to a recovery house. The thing that happened to me is that I realized through a weird series of circumstances that it was my thinking that was the problem. That it was me trying to figure out what I needed to do to get well that was the problem. As soon as I realized that, somebody made a suggestion. I took the suggestion, and I've been taking suggestions, a lot of suggestions, not all the suggestions, one day at a time ever since, one suggestion at a time ever since. And I've stayed sober from 1995 till now. I got a sponsor, I worked the steps, and I keep coming back being of service. Thanks for letting me share.